Universal Pictures is proud to present the motion picture directing debut of one of America's most talented and respected artists.
Cut! Cut, 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 cut!
Oh, hello, kiddies. So glad you could join me. Your pal, the Crypt Keeper, has gone Hollywood in a big way. I'm directing my first feature film. Care for a little shriek preview? For my big scream premiere, I wanted lots of suspense.
Uh-oh.
Special effects. Sex. Yeah. Violence. The kind of thing you could really sink your teeth into.
Hi!
Frights! Camera! Action! It's about a chase through the ages. A race against time. The war between good and evil.
Come on out, everybody. Time to play.
And the final battle between man...
I'm sorry.
...and demon.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I lied.
It stars Billy Zane from Dead Calm, William Sadler from Die Hard 2, and Jada Pinkett from Menace to Society. Ooh, I love those titles. And you'll love Demon Knight.
They're here! The demons are here!
And ladies, if you think Demon Knight is too gross and yucky...
Whoa!
Thank you!
Welcome back to the Jeff versus World podcast, where every once in a while he gives some friends the mic and lets us take it over for the bad meaning bad or bad meaning good series. And since it is October, we are back with a very spooky, very scary movie. This is the voice of Chanel Creating, and I'm here with
good old Mr. J. Giles.
Yeah. Yes.
You've heard me over here podcast. Before. Yes, yes, from the TV Zone podcast. You've heard me over here a few times, especially on Bad Meaning Bad. Jeff has definitely dragged us to do some bad movies over there. But this is not actually hood classics. This is just, you know, us taking over during the Halloween episode. Since we kind of become the unofficial Halloween takeover crew, basically.
Yes, we're here for another year. Time flies when you are out here living life. But we are here to talk about, is this like a cult classic at all? Like, do a lot of people like this movie?
Believe it or not, yes. It could be considered a hood classic.
Okay. Well, then, cool. Well, guys, we're here to recap Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. A classic, as you will, from the 90s. And it's the 90s, right? Because it's young Jada. Okay, wonderful. Well, Jay, from here, I'll give it to you because this is a movie that you really enjoy.
Why are you saying like this? See, you know.
I'm just saying, like it's your movie.
Yeah, all right. You know what? Yes, it is. I mean, I enjoyed watching this movie when I was a kid. I actually did grow up watching Tales from the Crypt. The TV series, and I mean, it was a good series. I should check to see if it's like streaming anywhere, and everything, because it was a good 90s, you know, kind of spooky type show, and everything. Of course, you got the Crypt Keeper doing his nonsense, and everything. True.
Yeah, that now that's the silliest part for me. Like, I knew what I was in for when the gratuitous boobies was like in the first 5 minutes. I was like, oh. Okay, one of these type of films.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it is kind of funny how it opens, but before we get to that, how about so this movie was directed by Ernest Dickerson. So anyone who know who Ernest Dickerson is, he actually is a well-known Black director. This along with, I believe, a little movie called Bones. He also directed. And he's directed a lot of, especially here in recent years, a lot of TV stuff. I know he did some stuff for The Walking Dead, Dexter, things like that. So he's always working, which is a great thing. And everything. And just cool that he directed this movie in the sense that, you don't really have a lot of black horror directors, but he is one of them.
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, it seems like how many Tales of the Crypt movies do
So,
you know have been created overall?
okay, so there were two movies. There was Demon Knight, and then there's Bordello of Blood, which stars Dennis Miller, and everything. Bordello of Blood is not as good as this one, and there was a planned third movie, but it never happened. So, yeah.
Would that set did the second movie have any connection to this first one, plot or character wise?
The only connection that the two movies share is the key that Breaker
That's
has.
true.
That's the only connection. But other than that, because this movie is demons, where Bordello of Blood is vampires. So,
Got you.
yeah, but for some reason, that key is in both. And I think the third movie was going to kind of link everything together, but unfortunately, there was no third movie.
Well, I don't know if it's unfortunate, but I'm just kidding. No, I okay, that's interesting because they definitely set it up to be a situation where and I'm sure her career was in a better place than to do this, but they set it up to where it could have been a series following, Jada Pinkett to the next movie and then somebody else from there. I think like the concept of how they passed it down was I don't know. I guess I'll say it was unique enough that I could see it continuing. So it is interesting that they like did a separate kind of theme in the second one instead of just telling that story in a different way. But I guess to be fair, writing it is probably like it's the same shit, like just a different house, different set of people. Like you kind of can't tell that story again without telling it the same way, I guess.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but I mean, because we're going to talk a lot about the movie, of course, but I do feel like the mythos and, a lot of that, even though we kind of get bits and pieces from Breaker, as he's kind of talking to the people in the house and everything like that, and kind of giving a little bit of his history as well as the history of the key and what is actually inside the key, and everything. But I feel like there was room for a sequel, or even in some case a prequel, to a degree, if they wanted to go that route, because I would say the story surrounding it is an interesting story if it was fully told, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. Okay, well, you want to jump into it so people know why we want to see a sequel?
Well, I mean, because I mean, look, if you listen to it, hopefully you have seen this movie, and everything, because we are gonna spoil the shit out of it. But at the same time, the movie pretty much, it's funny that we're starting with the actual ending first, but the movie basically sets up where, there is basically like almost like a reset in a way, with a different Demon Knight with Jada Pinkett's character and a new collector of, this sharp dressed black fellow on the side of the road and everything. So they kind of could have continued, because it seemed like, for me, the interpretation I've always got from that was that the battle of good and evil will always, continue on. It just, the faces might change, but that fight of good and evil will just continue on. And the way, like you say, the way the movie kind of ends, it sets up for a sequel to where you can continue this story and maybe expand on certain things. So.
Okay. So where it starts is with this guy getting chased by a car. And I think I would just say from the beginning is you have You at first I didn't know, like I'll say this from somebody who saw it for the first time, like at first you didn't know who the bad guy or the good guy was. So that was my first thing. Like I noticed that the one who was being chased like clearly had a plan to get away from the other guy. So I assumed he was like a bad guy on the run, and then he tried to shoot out the car of the guy who was chasing him, and that guy still drove right into him. And so the first guy gets away on foot, and you think like, okay, the other guy's dead and he's gotten away. And the what's his name? Bleaker? Bleaker,
Breaker,
right?
breaker.
Breaker. And so yeah, so then we see him go try to steal a car, and you're like, okay, he's definitely a bad guy. So he runs away and runs to this wino, this drunk guy who's
Good
like,
Lord. Yes.
I have a place for you. So he takes him to the, I don't know, the halfway house or like this little inn. And when he gets there, that's kind of where the rest of the movie kicks off. But there's a good, like there's a decent number of recognizable characters in this movie. So that was interesting. And I think the acting could have been worse. I guess I'll say it like that. Like the acting wasn't the like the Crypt Keeper was had the worst acting of the whole movie. Like
Well, he's supposed to
everybody
have the worst
else.
actor. He's
Fair enough.
supposed
But
to.
he really like is so grotesque. He makes me so mad. I like would skip forward past seeing him because I hate seeing that little skull. In like that little like animated skull. But anyway, yeah. So he runs, he gets to this halfway house, he's hiding out. And meanwhile, the cops are investigating the crash, and the guy who was chasing him pops up like nothing happened. And that's probably when I should have known something was wrong. But I was like, okay, like I'm he made it seem like he's trying to chase down this guy. Everyone should go find him because he's a bad guy. So like at that point, that's what I thought so far. I had no actual idea of what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, well, for one, to kind of talk about the cast for a second. So we have William Sadler, who, like, I don't think I've ever seen him in anything other than this, where he is quote unquote the good guy. Everything he's ever been in besides this, he always is a no good character. So in a way, yeah, it is kind of like if you've seen him in other things and then you see him in this, we're like, wait a minute, he's the good guy? Like, wait a minute, really? So, and then of course, I mean, you got Billy Zane, just Billy Zaning it up in this movie in a good way. But before I answer your question, I want to pose a question. Do you think that this cast is too good for this movie? That's probably why the acting is better than what it probably should have been.
No, I mean, I think even scary movies should be like acted well. So I don't feel that way at all. I think like I do think they all had their moments. Like I think there's this thing in horror movies where people scream and like not scream, not like scary scream, but like they yell their lines, and that always gets to me because I'm like, that's not how anyone really talks. But then again, I think I just don't yell a lot, so I don't know how like maybe that is it. So maybe like there's those moments, but I've really actually felt like they acted pretty well, and I think that's what you kind of need because you know the Crypt Keeper is very campy, and so like you kind of need that balance, you know. So I don't know, that I thought it was actually fine.
No, the only reason why I say that because, like I said, when you look at the actual, like the actors in the movie, you got Jada Pinkett, you have William Sadler, you have Billy Zane, CCH Pounder, Thomas Hayden Church, Charles Fletcher, who's best known for being the voice of Roger Rabbit. Like I said, you have all these people in this particular movie. It's like, in a way, I don't know. I've always kind of felt like, yeah, this cast is maybe a little too overqualified for this movie, but then they kind of, I guess, they hear because they want to have fun. So that's why I was kind of say that. But going back to your original question, as far as like the good guy, the bad guy thing, I always kind of look at it as like similar to the opening of Terminator when Kyle Reese and the Terminator come back, you know, to the past. You don't know exactly who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, necessarily, at first. You know, it's kind of one of them things. And then it's like, oh, okay, this guy's the good guy. Or, okay, yeah, he's the bad guy. And then in the second movie, you know, T2, you know, they kind of flip the script because, well, we know Arnold was the bad guy in the first. Wait a minute, he's the good guy now? Like, all right, okay. So, yeah, they kind of do kind of flip it around a little bit of where, okay, well, who exactly is the good guy? Who's the bad guy? And the fact that the cops you know, they just kind of went along with what Billy Zane was saying. Like, yeah, this guy, he stole something. Yeah, I need to go. All right, let's go find him. Like, what? Like, okay, I guess. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they kind of just lead you. There's a very bad, there's a very unrealistic reaction from the sheriffs or the cops, which is like, oh, here's this random man who said he survived a two burning cars because of his seatbelt. Let's take him to where we're going uncuffed and allow him to like harass the man that we think tried to but didn't steal the car. And so there's just like really bad police work and also really bad the actors that were good. The actors that were bad were just okay. Cause there's this guy at the end who's like just got fired from the post office and he says he swears he hasn't stolen any mail. And we find out later. Yeah, like later he like literally has been stealing mail and reading it, which is so boring because there's no mail that anyone's getting there that's worth like stealing and reading. So you have like him, you have this woman who is a sex worker and everyone kind of knows it. Then you have, like you said, Billy Zane comes later. He's like the bad guy who's not a devil. He's like a human bad guy who is a John and is there just to have sex with her. You have like CCH Pounder who is there as like the den mother, and then you have Jada who's like randomly this girl. Oh, I guess like she's out of jail. This gorgeous girl who like has had a chance and now she's back, and she hates doing her job at the end. Like she's supposed to clean stuff and it takes her all night. So like you have just these characters that exist and are there in this random town. And then you have all this other stuff entering in. So that's also kind of like how they get things moving along with like the police going to find the guy. Cause the den mother is like, oh, I'm going to call the police and let them know that that guy's probably here. And that's probably the worst thing she could have did, because basically she leads the actual like demon bad guy right to them. And then from there you have the rest of the night. And I actually didn't realize that demon night is like a good thing. So now I realize that at the very end. But yeah, so they get to the hotel and the bed and breakfast, the place where they're all staying. And he says he's looking for something. And there's like this, how do you describe it? They call it a key, but it's a really like big, like,
well, it is a key, because it even had like when they show it, you see like the key, like it unlocks something. And that, like I say, it's just looking at that, because he says like even later in the movie there were seven of them and they were scattered across the universe. So mm-hmm. It's like, well, when all seven of them are together, what does this thing unlock? You know, it's right. Like, so like I say, that it's kind of like okay, makes it seem, you know, very very important to the grand scheme mm-hmm. of everything too. Like, okay, yeah, this is really important because they got all the other six, they just need this one that they found on Earth. And some way mm-hmm. somehow the people that's been in possession of them on Earth has always kind of stayed a little bit ahead of the demons for some reason. So
yes, yeah, like he's talked about having a promotion. So yes, you basically, like, the demons are there to get the key because basically they'll just wipe out humanity and go back to darkness mm-hmm. Where they thrive. And the thing about that is, like, do you really thrive if it's just y'all? Like, what do you get out of that? It's like, I kind of feel like you have to have humans to be ruling over, or else, like, it's just y'all chilling and celebrating your win. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it is weird because, yeah, like, okay, yeah, y'all. You get all seven keys, you bring it back to the darkness, like you say. So if all humanity is wiped out, y'all just roaming around in the dark, you know, like, what is this? So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they should. That's why I would say it, like, it would have been cool if they kind of expanded on certain things to make it even more important. But I guess the whole, well, if the demons get full control, humanity is wiped out, so we have to save humanity type thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So basically it's like they are the last chance. For whatever reason, the aliens on the other six planets didn't do the job, like it's down to some human beings. And so they basically, like, when he doesn't get the key, he gets mad, and the cops are like, all right, well, both of y'all are going down to holding. We're gonna figure this out. Everyone's gonna get arrested. Because the guy is not like the what's the name of the technically good guy?
Breaker.
Breaker. So Breaker is like not saying enough really in this moment. He's kind of like, oh, okay, well, like, and then he could be like, no, don't do it. Like, he's very politely telling people no, and then no one wants to believe him. So they're leading him out, they cuff him, they go to cuff the other guy, and he just reaches into, he punches a hole through the heart, the chest of one of the cops, just punches a straight up hole. Everyone stands around screaming and yelling while he takes his head off and does a whole bunch of other unnecessary shit. And meanwhile, like, Breaker is like, nigga, give me the keys. Like, I need the key. It's definitely like Get Out, but he's like, no, I need the keys right now. And he gets himself out of the handcuffs, and I think he's like, he just knows what's about to happen. So he gets, I forget like if he shot him or what happened, but basically they get the demon out of there, the head demon,
Well,
and
actually,
he's like,
he burns him with the key.
yes, oh yeah, there you go, because there's blood in the key, and the blood ends up being critical. So now that the demon's outside, he's like, all right, forget this then. Like, y'all just gonna, like, I'm about to desecrate this land. And so
This
we see
place
him
is hereby condemned.
condemned. That's real. That's actually what that is. So he does that, and these things, this goo just starts forming out of the ground, and it turns into like demons that look like dinosaurs. So they have tails, and they also have hair,
Yes.
like skeletons with tails and hair.
Look like
And those are the hair is the part for me that pisses me off.
the hair kind of looks like, when you drop a lollipop on the carpet. And you just
Yes,
that's
it's so nasty.
what their hair looks like. But I mean, they are, when they show them in the shadows, they look creepy, but when you see them like a little bit in light, like, yeah, the makeup is kind of hokey and everything, but when they in the shadows, they do look kind of creepy though. So
Yeah, they're definitely like it. There's just something about how they make them, like, it's a stop motion of it all. Like, they come at you very fast. They're very gross. They're scaly. They're also bony and like nasty. So I totally understand like why they come off as scary, because like they kind of are. They're very creepy, but it's also like probably in the light it would be so silly. And also, just thinking about them being actors who are just moving around, like, because when you watch them throughout the movie, they're just like rolling their wrists and like rolling their necks. They're just trying to look creepy, but they're kind of just standing there dancing when you really watch it. But anyway, they start coming crazy at them. Like, they start jumping through windows, killing a couple people off rip. And we see that Breaker is like, all right, he's shooting them in the eye. And whenever he shoots them in the eye, this green like laser kind of thing shoots out, and that's like the way of knowing like, okay, this one's actually defeated. And so yeah, like that's what starts happening, and he's trying to help the he's trying to tell them what to do, but also saving them. And then he starts to take the key and drip a drop of blood in any opening, and that creates a seal for the demons to stay out. And he goes throughout the whole house making sure the demons stay out. But it's so annoying because there's still all these rules to like that you can easily break with that. But he basically goes through all the entrances and exits, and he asks CCH, like, is there any other way in? And she's like, you mean besides the doors and the windows? And he's like,
yeah.
I was like, there better not be no fucking basement in this house. The way she's having an attitude with him, like, I know there's about to be a basement. I know you're about to piss me off. But yeah, so he starts going through, and the thing that always trips me out about these shows is how people just make things way worse than they have to be. Because
Yes.
while he's doing that, people are still doing their own bullshit over on the side.
And do we want to talk about one particular person, Mr. Roach, who is basically
Absolutely.
the secret villain of this movie?
He is like, and he got what he deserved, but
Yeah.
literally, it didn't make sense to me what he was saying, what he was doing and saying.
It's okay for one. Okay, off rip. When he first shows up, we know that he ain't no good because him and Cordelia clearly got some weird stuff going on. Because what the hell was they doing in that room with that damn battery and the jumper
Oh
cables on?
yes, I
Like, what
forgot
are
about
y'all
that.
doing?
They were just doing some electrostimulation play, but it sounded like she was definitely putting jumper cables on his nipples, which was just too much.
What did Deputy Bob say? It's like it looked like a tune up and a lube job. Like what? Like wait a minute, what's going on here?
So stupid for sure. But, so yeah, so they have that. They have that relationship where he's her John, and so as soon as the shit hits the fan, he's such an asshole to her. And Roach's whole thing is, I want to get out of here. And I'm just trying to understand how you see demons jumping in at you, killing people, and you think you can outrun them. Like, and then you see somebody successfully put up a shield against the demons that is, you see it working, and you're like, nah, I gotta get out of here. Like, I understand maybe not trusting this guy fully, but I don't understand not believing that he knows something you don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, he can get me to do anything because he clearly is the only one who can neutralize them.
Yeah, and even when everybody else decides to buy in, there's Roots still like, no, I don't trust
you. Yeah, mad skeptical. Yeah, like, for no, I mean, he's not to be trusted, clearly.
And it's funny seeing Thomas Hayden Church in that role because, for the most part, he's always... It's funny, like, most of his career, he's known for playing a good guy, but in his... And here he's like a real asshole. Because even Sandman in the Spider-Man movies, he's a conflicted character. He's not outright a bad guy, which is kind of weird that they went that route with him. But even in other stuff that he was in, it's like he's always kind of relatively a good guy in the movies that he's in. So seeing him play this character, and yes, he definitely gets what he deserved because some way, somehow, he pickpocketed the key from Breaker and then gives it to the collector.
But even before that, Breaker tells him very clearly what the fuck will happen. And he just, like, it's so clear that he's telling the truth because they literally have already seen actual demons. Like, anything he told me at that point, I would believe because I just lived through these demons coming in and out. And he still is like, I think the devil will let me live.
Yeah, let him live for what, maybe about 2 minutes, and they said, "Oh,
yeah, like, why would you trust? Like, you have to trust. If you have to trust anyone in the situation, would you not trust the guy who's fighting the demon versus the guy who is sending the demons at you? Like, that just does not genuinely make any sense to me. Like, that was the part that kind of took me out of it because I'm like, I know they have to have a bad guy or whatever, but it does not make sense to me that he would be so adamant about like, I don't trust it. Like, you see the demon, they're walking around."
Especially after Breaker tells them his story about he tells the story of like how far the key goes back, which goes back to Jesus being crucified. It goes all the way back,
which
there.
Is wild. He goes, "There's this Jew on the getting crucified."
Yeah,
and it just so happened. And Jenny Pink's like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Yeah, basically,
I know you
like,
ain't talking about who I think you're talking about."
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "Yeah, I am." So crazy.
Right. And then when he says, "Yeah, a soldier in, you know, got a real bad neck wound in 1917," and it's like, "Wait a minute, this is 1995, and you got this key back in 1917." And even Deputy Bob's like, "Wait a minute, I ain't the greatest person at math, but wouldn't that make you?" It's like, "Yeah. Pretty much, I'm an old man. Like, I'm too old at this point, and I've been fighting this fight too long, and my time is almost up, and it's time for me to pass this key on to somebody else." Because, and which I kind of I never understood that, because like, yeah, we get the whole thing with the stars on the hand, and yeah, when the stars line up, it's basically okay. Now it's time to pass it on to somebody else, but we don't, like I say, we kind of get bits and pieces of that story in itself. So it's like, okay, yeah, you kind of like selling us on something, but we are not really privy to the whole entire story. But I guess they do that because when we do realize, like, Geraldine, Jada Pinkett's character, is the person that he was looking for, and when the whole exchange happens, I guess that person gains all the previous knowledge of the key and everything and takes on the burden now of everything. That's how I kind of took it. I don't know if you kind of got that same, you know, thing from that.
Yeah, definitely. It wait, did we, sorry, did we talk about the girl and Wally?
No, but we can because Wally is an interesting character.
Please.
So, good old mailman Wally, or AKA Roger Rabbit, as I like to refer, because that is the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, right. And so, and like I said, it's about, because you know, most people don't know what he looks like, but yeah, that's he's Roger. He's the voice of Roger Rabbit. So the fact that he's in this movie, and when we first see him, it's like, okay, why exactly is he hanging around here? Okay, he has a crush on the whore, basically. It's like, all right, I guess it's small town, and you know, okay, whatever. And the whole thing, like, yo, he's just a nice guy. He got fired from the post office because they thought he was stealing mail, and then we find out, no, this dude really was stealing the mail. And not only that, he was stockpiling weapons, and oh, he got a whole thing of grenades of, like, what the hell is he planning on doing? Like, what is
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the fact I would just want to be honest, like the fact that he didn't have bullets was so confusing. Like, are you doing it or what? And I'm not saying I'm encouraging it, but I was so annoyed that they were like, oh, he's gonna go postal. Like that was gonna happen. Like this stereotype of, or not stereotype, like something that happened like once, I think. And then
Yeah.
like back when mass shootings were not so regular that there was like one person doing it became a whole thing. It became a whole phrase. And so he was gonna go postal and he has his vest of, like you said, a vest of grenades, a bunch of guns that aren't like loaded, which is so stupid. Because I think maybe they did that just to get your hopes up. But I was still worried, like, who is this man who got, yeah, like you said, got done up because, oh, I don't think we mentioned this enough, but like the even though they're locked out of the house, they are the main demon is able to like get in people's heads and show them fantasies about what they want to see. And so they show that to the woman who he tells her like, oh, you can be loved, and I'm gonna love you and treat you good after Roach slaps her and abuses her. And my whole thing is this, like, how is he gonna love you? You saw him raise those demons from the ground. How, what are you looking for from him? And I know like it's a fantasy and he's giving it to him in the very moment, but I'm like, I would have been the one too, because I would have been like, N that don't make no sense. You're literally trying to, I believe this man when he say you're trying to kill us, because you've killed some of us already. Like there, what's confusing? So I guess it just kind of shows also like maybe your strength of character and your ability to like fight the, you know, the devil trying to entice you, because he does that to her, and then she seduces Wally and kills Wally, so then they both die from that. And then through that, the CCH, like the woman who like owns the whole thing, gets her arm taken off, and then
That
so
scene
she
is always
later.
kind of, because that effect of her arm getting ripped off is like, that's actually a good effect, because you don't know when it stops being her arm and when it's actually the, you know, the prosthetic arm. So I always kind of like that effect
Yeah,
for some reason.
I gotta be honest with you, like I skipped that like 10 seconds around that because it was too nasty. Like just seeing, because they kept making the tongues come out of the demons, and so it was so, I was like, I don't want to see this. So then I just waited to for the smoke to clear. I was like, oh shit, she lost an arm. That's crazy. Like I didn't see the exact how it happened. I was like, I don't need to. But yeah, so the rest of the time she's like gets drunk off vodka to fight the pain. And then they're like, well, she's gonna die, like she's gonna bleed out, so we have to figure something out. And long story short, they find because Jada, her cat, like this cat that he keeps being worried about being yes, he was thinking Cleo's gonna get possessed any moment. So this cat like helps them find this air coming through in the cellar, and they find out that that's a hole, like it's an entire tunnel, like an entire tunnel that they just simply put wood over. And we're like, good enough, like tunnel's closed. So they basically are like, we have to leave, we have to go take a chance. He's like, the only way we are safe is in this house, like truly. And they're like, I don't think so. And I will say one thing Roach did say that's true is he said, you're telling us not to do this, like you're gonna protect us, and freaking look at everybody, like we're not better off for you protecting us. And to some extent, I see what he was saying. Even though I think maybe if people listen to him more, that wouldn't happen, but whatever. So they decide to go down this tunnel, and he's like, oh, fuck it, okay. And so he follows them down, and we see the little boy from before who caught him trying to steal the car. And he's just sitting there, and I'm like, okay, is he a demon? Like, who's the demon? And we see his parents come out, and they've been taken. And so now they're all trapped in the tunnel, running from the demons who are in the tunnel. And then I don't know how they got in the tunnel, but they're in the tunnel. And then they all run back into the house again. I'm like, here we go. But from that, the demons are able to get closer into the house. So now it's like they're upstairs and the demons are literally downstairs, and they just have that one seal on the stairs that's stopping them. And like you said, because Roach gets the key, like all he has to do is like literally like the devil just brings out a sponge. Like he uses a sponge, like, and as soon as he does,
just take it.
Exactly. And like, and he breaks the seal and the barrier so that they can come up. I feel like I'm speeding through that part. So did I miss anything?
Not really. I mean, because we kind of talked about Roach getting killed anyway, because that's what it was. It's like, yeah, yep. All right, you know, wipe it up. Okay, you're going to live. Like, hey, this so hell on earth thing ain't so bad. You know, that real, you know, Breaker. Make sure you kill Breaker, because he's a real asshole and type of thing.
Yeah, but just.
Mr. Roach, I lied. And then he get got, and it's like.
Immediately. And again, I'm just like, there's no way you believe this.
So. Okay, so since we're talking about people who are easily influenced, because Cordelia was easily, you know, influenced by the collector's, you know, false, oh, I can love you, you will be loved, and all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, she's one. And then let's talk about old good old Uncle Willie. And his,
yes,
he's influenced by, which is...
It's titties.
Well... titties and liquor.
Yeah, just a big old party. Yeah, that's true, because he's definitely struggling with addiction. So they're like, yep, like that. They're basically just like giving him a party and letting him drink, like basically him taking shots, I guess, is his way of saying yes to the devil and letting him in. And so next time they come upstairs, he's attacking them, and Jada is really afflicted, because that's like somebody she's very close to, but she
ain't gonna hurt your old Uncle Willie, are you?
Yeah. She ends up having to kill Uncle Willie because he's a demon. Like, once you're a demon, there's no getting you out of there. You gotta go.
But tell me this: why did that scene when he goes into that bar and you got Billy Zane as the bartender and all these women around him topless and everything? Why did that make me think about The Shining? When Jack goes, and you know, because that's what happened to him. He drinks the liquor. The same. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it shows that if you have an addiction, you can be pretty manipulated in the middle of it.
So yeah, so they kind of had to, you know, well, Uncle Willie was about to kill Breaker, because now, okay, that scene kind of pisses me off. When they open the door, Danny's hiding behind. It's like you couldn't say he's behind the door or something like that. No, you just creeping down, and Breaker like, what is doing? Oh shit, you know, type of thing. And then, like I said, Jada, because she's just seeing the back of Willie's head, but then when he turns, because Breaker's seeing the demon version of him, but when he turns around, he turns back into himself. So yeah, she is conflicted, but it's like, you know, Willie ain't got that type of strength. Like, he ain't got that old man strength.
Like, you're like, seeing it happen.
Yeah, like, get this man, like, what are you doing? And then but that did kind of free Breaker up to chop his head off, but he wasn't dead, because the eyes opened up, but the body's still fighting. It's like, good grief. But
nasty. But
it took, for Danny is actually the one who picks the head up and put his eyes through the deer antlers. Like, because at that point, Geraldine was kind of just incapacitated. And it's like, she's the heir apparent? Like, really? Like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, though, because we didn't see Breaker have to kill his mentor or anyone else he was with. So I feel like that is the thing that sucks, is like when we saw his flashback, the person he was close to died and it wasn't his fault, versus this one where, like, you know, you only, it's like with Walking Dead, like it takes people a second to realize their loved one is gone. So I'll give her that.
Okay, I guess you can cut some slack with that. But and plus too, with Breaker, he was in World War I, so you know, there was bodies all over the place. Buddy just, I think he just got shot in the neck or something. So yeah, it was like an accident. It's like, hey man, you gotta take this key from me real quick. And it's like, huh? Like,
I mean, they're basically suggesting that he's like 100 years old and he's been around since the since, you know, again, First World War. So he's seen a lot. He's ready. And he also understands the, like, the how serious this issue is, mm-hmm. whereas she's still, like, you know, like, you have to have seen a bunch of people die to be like, yeah, you got to kill them immediately. So she's definitely still processing. And that's the only reason why I'm giving her grace. But yeah, she figured it out later.
This was her training, basically. Mm-hmm.
Because when the devil tried to seduce her, he said she could see the world and do all these things. So, like, she
Oh no, you gotta do it. You gotta do it in his voice though. Geraldine, you could travel the world. You can.
I can't even do that. He was good. Like, he had he would really he knew how to approach people. Like, that was a part about the movie that felt good, like good acting and good delivery, because he would really like try to lure them in, and it was like not just a generic bad guy voice.
No.
They had that. She had that going on, and she fought it. So she was already like stronger than most people there in that sense.
Well, I mean, because at that point she was the last one left, because. Well, we didn't talk about when the collector, you know, come dancing up the steps with the briefcase, like, all right, well, we're going to get, let's look in this room here. Oh, no one's there. And then Breaker comes out like a dog, like Rambo with damn bow and arrow, shoots him in the eye. He flips off the banister.
Yep.
And we had CCH Pounder and Deputy Bob basically having to, they sacrifice themselves. For whatever reason, I don't know. That's never
not foolish. Sure, but I mean, they are probably one. I guess I just don't know why they couldn't throw the grenades.
They could have, but I guess, well, she probably was like, I don't want to live with no one arm. And Bob was like, well, I'm just fed up. I'm tired. You know, that's what I guess.
Yeah, like, I don't. I mean, that's the only thing I hate when like there's a random sacrifice. I'm like, there's no emotional stakes to make this make sense. Like you said, she could have lived without an arm, but I guess she doesn't want to. But she didn't. She also didn't say that, like, so it wasn't completely clear. But fine. Okay, cool. So we needed that for them to make it to the attic and kind of be hiding out. And yeah, so they make it up to the attic and they're hiding from them, and he comes for them. And in that moment, Breaker realizes, all right, it's my time to go. So he tells her, like, you're the only one. He figures out that she probably got tempted and hit it. He's like, it's just us. There were seven of us because the seventh star, seven people, like there's significance to those numbers. And he was like, all right, like it's just you left. So here's what's about to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to give you my blood. And then you're going to have the key from now on. And like, it's going to be yours for however long so that you can keep humanity alive. That's literally the speech he gives her. And he must tell her some other stuff. We don't hear all of it. Because he uses that information later. But yeah, like she gets that thing where when he puts it in her hands, he's able to transfer all the knowledge that he got in the moment to her.
So, okay, so how do you think you would fare in a situation like that? If somebody came to you like, hey, Chanel, I basically have to put the weight of, you know, the stake of humanity on your shoulders now, pretty much. Like,
I mean, I think the whole night is terrible. So it's like, is that something I would be okay with? No, but in the real scheme of things, it's like, if it's me, it's me. Like, if it literally is what he says, where like there's total darkness or I go through this, then I might as well. Cause like, otherwise I don't do any, like, I don't have an option at that point, you know? Yeah, I don't know. Would you say no? I feel like you can't.
No, you can't say no, but it's just kind of weird. You know, they sitting up there in the attic and all of a sudden he just pours it on her hand and she's like, the fuck you do that? Like, what are you doing? And then when she...
Well, no, he tells her what's happening first. He doesn't just give it to her without telling her.
No, I'm talking... No, okay. No, when they first... Like, when they're up there and she's looking out the window and when he pours the blood on her hand and she's like, Breaker, what are you doing? like, wait a minute. And then when she touches it and she puts it on the seal... And he sees like, oh, okay, no, you are the one because you actually was able to seal it. And then that's when he goes.
Yeah, that was like the final test.
Yeah, so it's like, wait a minute. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you pouring this on me? Like, what the hell wrong with you?
Fair. Yeah, fair. No, he definitely did. He was, because I really thought that was about the cat again. I was like, are you still on this cat thing? But he was just giving her what she needs. And I mean, it worked out because again, she was literally the only one alive. So at that point, it really was literally her or nobody. So he passes on all the information to her, and the
guy comes up, the whatever, the devil comes up. I cannot get names today, and that's okay. And he, Breaker, sorry, Breaker dies, and she's like,
Danny,
don't leave me.
Danny got possessed.
Yes, Danny got possessed. They had to kill this child, but it is what it is. And there's like a comic book he's randomly reading.
Tales from the Crypt.
Right, but like, where did this boy get this? He's in the attic reading a comic book while the demons are downstairs coming for them, and his parents just died. Yes. And he's like, "Oh, I'll find comfort in this magazine." Okay,
because remember him, he was in the attic with Uncle Willie when him and Willie had that bottle of Jack Daniels, and he was up there reading the book, and Willie was drinking. So that's
what exactly, and everything about that is so crazy. Like, he's like, "Oh, I guess," like, it's like playing Xbox during all that. It's like, are you sure? So, but the significance of that is we start to see that the story is happening in the comic book as we're seeing it unfold. And so then homeboy gets possessed through the comic book, and so he is then dead because they had to let him go. And that's when it's like the final face off, because Breaker dies and she's like, don't leave me. Don't leave me right now. And I guess I get it, because I'm like, it's just me and you alive, like, please. And then it's just her, and she hides, and he comes up, and he's trying to convince her, but again, she would be a real dumb to have seen all the things she saw that night and believe him. But I could see somebody being like, I just want this to be the truth. But yeah, she sticks through it, and he basically overpowers her at some point. Actually, what happens is she does another thing. She puts something through his. No, no, no.
Well,
it's not the eye first.
She covered herself. She covered herself in blood.
In blood. Yeah. So when she touched him, it got to him.
Like, oh,
and so And so she got away, and she went downstairs, and that's when he wrapped her up in a shower curtain and waterboarded her and poured the blood out. And so she's like, oh, don't not so fast. And she drank some of the blood. So if you're watching this, you could tell that she like puts the blood in her mouth. And so the whole time that he goes, you know what? I think you're so great.
I've never said this to anyone, but I, you, and do you think that you could find in your heart that you could me? What are you doing?
But for whatever reason, he felt like he loved, like, he was basically saying, so she's the demon knight now, and that's how we know that's what that is. And he's like, oh, no one's ever crossed a demon knight into the, basically, like, made them a demon before, like, why don't you be my wife, which sounds disgusting. Ugh. And he's like, oh, you don't want to? And so he keeps spinning her around and moving her, and she's like not opening her mouth. And so he eventually gets mad, and then he, like, his penis puts out yellow light in a way where I'm like, was that, like, that felt like a violation.
And just for everybody who's listening, the way Chanel describes it is exactly what happens. That's the funny part about it. That's exactly how it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, now that I say it out loud, though, I'm like, oh, like, that was, like, not okay at all. Because it's literally him. I don't know. I don't like it. But he's like, oh, sorry. Okay. And he's basically saying, you're forced to live with me, an attorney. I chose you. And then because she had taken the key and put it through his other eye, and he didn't die earlier, he was like, oh, I guess you must not know. Like, Breaker must have trained you and everything. And then when she finds her moment, she does spit the blood up on him. And that blood in his face is literally enough to end it. Like, literally enough to send him going. Yep. It wraps. He's a wrap after that. And yeah, like, it was like a very, I guess it was climactic, because he was whooping her ass. Like, he really was, like, dragging her up and down steps and treating her bad and trying to get her to be his, like, empress. I don't know. He's saying, like, oh, I'm so excited, I'm getting a promotion, and I'm not a lower level demon, all these things. So you're like, okay, again, they're about to, like, reign over all the darkness, I guess. And then she gets him, and I think that's, like, obviously it's like a long night, she's tired, but, like, all the demons are done after that. Like, all the ones he had sprouted have been killed already. He's dead. Also, everyone else is dead. So my main concern was, who, like,
there's a massacre in this house. Like, what? Like, is she able to just leave without people thinking that she did it? Like, I'm just confused about, well, like, two exploded. Cops are dead.
So
fair to house, but still to the, oh, maybe they think she's in there too. That's true. I guess I would assume that she's in there, because there's no proof that she did it. Thank you. I forgot it. I literally was just forgetting. Like, I was like, did she leave all these bodies behind? And so it wraps up with her getting on a bus, and she takes the key around her neck and like just slides it over a little bit. I'm like, girl, that is not hiding that key. I just want you to know that key is not secure. Just you like tucked it under your flannel. Right. And she gets on the bus, and then she goes, oh, hold on 1 second, and turns around and drops a drop of blood to seal the bus door, which to be fair is a technicality because there are also windows on the bus. But she does that. And then the very next stop, like you said, you want to describe him?
Like I say, basically Superfly from the 90s. Like, he about to get on the bus, and he's like, oh, wait a minute. Nah, I catch the next one. And then, you know, they kind of had that mm-hmm. eye contact. Mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, you know, like, the faces change, but the fight continues, good mm-hmm. and evil. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be honest with you, they're very close. Like, they need one more key. Like, it's a matter of time. It's been, like, 3 millennia. They've been doing all this for millions of years. Like, they're on it, which is actually terrifying. But anyway, yeah, like that. And then he just turns around after the bus and starts walking and whistling the Crypt Keeper theme song.
Yes. So, you know, anytime this, like I say, whenever I watch this movie, I always think, like, there should have been a direct sequel to this movie. And even though, because the what's crazy about it, the budget for this movie was $12 million, it actually made $21.1 million. So it was a success, but for whatever reason, they did not make a direct sequel. They decided to do Bordello of Blood, which came out a year later, which people did not like, and everything following this, because what's crazy about that, the budget for that movie was 2.5, it made 5.6. So even though, yeah, it made it back its money, but it's still technically a failure. But whenever people talk about Tales from the Crypt movies, they always talk about Demon Knight more so than Bordello of Blood. So
yeah, I mean, again, it wasn't the worst movie. I think that one thing they did wrong was, like, they just leaned into, it was already gross enough, and they leaned into the gratuitous. Like, there wasn't too much sex in it. There was, like, the sex scene in the beginning, and there was a lot of boobies for no reason. And a lot of fake boobs, like, a lot of big bimbo boobs. But they, like, I feel like they did that when the story itself could have really, like, done its own thing. Because, like, the story itself had, like, a lot of dimension to it, I would say. And the acting was not terrible. It was a little bit dramatic at times. But, again, like, for what was happening, it made sense. And then the guy, Roach, was so terrible that, like, it actually felt like, okay, he's just an asshole who happened to get caught in this house with them. And he hates them. And he's not to be trusted. So even that was, like, not unnecessary evil guy for no reason. Like, there probably would be somebody who's like, I don't trust y'all. I got to look out for myself. Like, I'm going to mess things up. So, like, there wasn't too much where I was like, oh my God, this is so stupid. Besides the people falling for the devil's kind of temptation. But yeah, with that said, like, it was not a terrible movie. And I also was, like, really surprised by the quality of, like, the production itself, because, again, I didn't know what to expect. And I guess because I watched it digital, so in some instance it was already remastered. But, like, any movie that's more than 20 years old, I'm like, I don't know what quality, like, this is about to come to me in. So it was like, yeah, like, it wasn't a terrible watch. Like, I found myself, like, actually, like, okay, let me finish this versus, like, dragging myself. So, you know, not too bad. Not too bad, JL. I'm not mad at you for this one.
Well, I thank you for that. Because I did want to ask. So, is this a movie? Would you recommend this to, like, the listeners and anybody else, like, who has never seen Demon? Would you recommend it to them, especially around this time of the year? You know, spooky time of the year.
No, but only okay. Because I think there's so much other compelling stuff that you can watch where this is just like I feel like maybe it, you should know what the Crypt Keeper is just because of what a phenomenon it was. And I feel like if you have capacity for a lot of scary movies, you can watch this. Like, some of my favorite scary movies are stuff that's come out within the last several years. Like Bad Hair is one I really like. I think it was Slept On, or like any like Us, or just stuff where I feel like there's really interesting stories. And it's not even like the one that just came out, not Haunt, what?
Blackening.
Talk to Me is also good, like you said. So it's like there's just movies where there's something about it that kind of sticks with you. A lot of the movies A24 produces, stuff like that. So I would encourage people to watch different things, but and then also just the era that it is and the way that like they treated women in it was just so kind of unnecessary that's kind of what loses points on it for me. Like, it's not classic and iconic enough to overlook that. Whereas I think sometimes you make excuses for content because it's like, oh, it's so good, we just ignore this one part. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't the worst movie ever, but I feel like there is a lot of really good scary stuff you can watch. Or you can watch like the Scary Movie series, and it's not actually scary, it's just silly, but I think that also qualifies as October watching. And that's probably a bad, 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 good we should do, because in my mind, I'm like, those the first two were so funny, even the fourth one's funny too. But I wonder if watching it back, if I'd be like, oh my God, this is cringe.
And speaking of the scary movie, it's funny, the only one of those I actually saw in the movie theater was actually Four.
Yeah,
Part four was the one I saw at the movie theater. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, they had something going, because you have a young Kevin Hart, like you still have Anna Faris, you have a good amount of like original cast. And then you have scenes that when you go back and watch, you're like, oh, wait, this was so funny. And it was like so much comedy in that movie that I feel like only certain things, like you walked away remembering certain things. And if you watch it again now, you'd be like, wait, these other scenes were funnier. I never even realized it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think that's what I mean by I have a list of things I would go to before this. But if you grew up at this time and like you remember watching scary movies on VHS, I totally understand you being like, I'm gonna rewatch this because it's so gory and there's a storyline to it.
I mean, like, and like I say, to kind of stay away from current events surrounding our main lead person, I have to admit, we're talking about 95, like I say, Jada Pinkett was like a celebrity crush of mine. And everything. So it was kind of checking off a few boxes for me, where one of my favorites at the time was in this movie. Two, she's a black lead in a movie like this. And she's the final girl.
Yep. Also. Exactly. Yeah, no, Jada is iconic no matter what. She was definitely like back in her, like, this is when her and Will Smith getting together at this age is crazy, because they were both like two of the finest black actors, like two of the finest actors in the world at that moment, like young, on top of their game. Kind of, I guess like what a Michael B. Jordan is today, but like Will Smith was truly that, like Jada was truly that. And this was definitely like set it off era.
Yeah, because so, I mean, what was this? This is a year before Set It Off and 2 years before Scream 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, to be honest with you, like, yeah, exactly, she was in the Scream series. And when I think about like black celebrity women like that, she's been in the game so long, and because she's still in the news, it gives people a chance to really critique her in a way that like it's not that different from Ice Cube came out involved in politics in a way, and people like, so like if you only know Ice Cube from doing family movies and then you saw him get political, you're like, exactly, you're like, what the fuck? But if you were there from the beginning throughout all of it, like, you see this very like dimensional person. And so I feel like Jada Pinkett Smith deserves that, like she deserves us to see her in dimensions. And then also there was, just because you brought it up, I feel like there's something I would say about that. I was happy to see her. I didn't know she was in this. And like you said, a black woman final girl who's not ambiguous, like she's definitely black. And then there's people who have been posting about media literacy and the importance of being aware of like how people are feeding you headlines. And so why I bring that up is because I think that with everything going on in the news right now, like there's people who are immediately jumping into like critiquing her for what she's expressing, but there's already been people who wanted to, sorry, this is a whole tangent, but there's already been people who wanted to hate her because she's a black, she's a in a black famous Hollywood marriage, and she always has done things so independently of her husband, to the extent where like hearing about her, I guess, cheating on her husband or whatever the case may be, was something where people wanted to like crucify her for that. And we do not see that same level of like negativity or like that same level of a community coming against someone as we do when it's a woman doing it, versus like when men do it, we kind of like, oh, of course he moved on, like that's old news. Like, we really don't hold men in celebrity marriages accountable to, like, we joke about Leo DiCaprio's behavior, but like nobody does anything about it, right? Like, there's no campaigns against him. So all I'm saying is there was already that stuff with August Wilson a while back, and now there's this, and Will Smith hasn't said he's embarrassed, Will Smith hasn't said he's upset, but everyone else is kind of creating a narrative for her. So that's why I'm not getting involved in that or like jumping on that bandwagon, because media literacy wise, she is putting out a book, she did one interview, she's not putting out messages every day. The media is doing that. The media is posting about her every day and parsing out her words and giving it out to keep their ratings up. So that's not the same thing as her doing that. So I say all that to say Jada Pinkett is still a queen and still like a black cinema, like scary movie final girl. And there's nothing like that can take that away from her.
No, no. I've learned how to kind of separate, because like I say, whatever is going on now has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. If you know how to compartmentalize stuff, and that's kind of what we're doing. It's like, okay, we're focusing on her at the time of doing this, because what this is, like I said, this is 95. So this is, she's done with a different world. She's really, I mean, she had been in movies before this, but it's like around this time is when her movie run is about to begin, because she does this, she does Set It Off, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Wait, what's she? Wait, she wasn't in Fools Fall. What the hell? Wait a minute. Missing a movie. Why am I missing a movie? I'm missing a movie. Damn it.
What? Sorry, I was on mute. Like, I feel like Woo came out around this time.
Yes, Woo. Yes, Woo. Because that was what, 97, I think it was. I have to look up filmography real
Definitely
quick.
This era.
But yeah, it's like, this is when her, and it's funny, like her and Will both, their movie careers really start, because 95, he does Bad Boys. And that's when, you know, Mr. Summer Blockbuster, Will Smith, you know, he goes on his run. So both of their movie career runs kind of kick off relatively around the same time in a way. But
yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're a power couple. And I don't think we don't have too many of those where like the woman is as famous, if not more famous at times, than the husband. Like, they're like, you have power couples, but you do, like, outside of like a Courtney B. Vance and Angela Bassett, there's very few couples where like, you know, both of them are household names. That's all.
Especially when they're black. That's always been, because it's either one or the other. But it's rare when you have both, because what, as far as right now, what would you say would be Will and Jada and Angela Bassett and Courtney B. Vance, and then who else, if there is anybody else that you know both?
Yeah,
equally.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know too many. I can't think of any. I mean, maybe I just have to sleep on it, but like, I can't think of any, like, who, because even like Nia Long was married to somebody who was famous in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's different. So yeah, I don't think there's that many equals. So that's why I'm like, I can't pretend to understand what they go through, because like, that's a different life. Like, that's a completely different life. And yeah, so anyway, like, if anyone's listening to this and hasn't turned this off yet, just be kind to black women in the media, because I think if you take a step back, you realize people love to like pile on. And when like, she didn't do anything to anyone in particular, and if her husband feels a way about it, he has all the resources he can to share that with us, you know. So anyway, blessings to everybody involved in making the movie. And Jay, thank you for putting this on my radar, although I won't be revisiting it. I'm glad to have checked it off.
Good grief. See, You know what? Maybe I should tell you to watch Bordello of Blood. Then you will appreciate this movie even more. How about that?
If you give me a worse movie, I'll just remember it along with this movie, so that won't be good.
No, that won't happen. No, because trust me, like I say, people wanted a true follow up to this movie. When they got Bordello of Blood, boy, were they furious. So, yeah.
Fair.
So, okay.
Yeah, we have to ask the final question.
We have to ask friend. No, this is not that show. This is just Jeff. Oh, show.
This isn't bad meaning bad or bad meaning good. That's hilarious. Oh, no. Okay, never mind.
Jeff, edit this out.
Well, the people need to know we're confused. Okay, well, thank you for letting us take over the feed then, Jeff. Happy Halloween to everyone. Yes. Please, you still have time to get a costume, do something fun next weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just watch out for the weirdos, because I mean weirdos do come out around this time, even though they're pretty much year round, but around this time and especially if you have kids and you go trick-or-treating, always check the candy.
Always check the candy, but it's very rare something will be in the candy. But do that if that makes you feel better. I agree.
Exactly. So yes. Chanel, where can the people find you?
They can find me right now at Chanel Creating. Currently public on Instagram, private on Twitter, but feel free to follow me on both. And that is honestly the only thing that's not it. That's not true. You can follow me there, but you can listen to me regularly at anchor.fm/WeWasPodcast, WEWAS, where me and Brandon, who has also been on this feed multiple times, we recap shows. And right now, we're getting into the first half of the first season of Gen V on Prime Video. What about you, Jay?
For me, of course, you can follow me on, like, I like to refer to it now as the Twitter X machine, because that's what it is technically.
Yeah.
You can follow me at my personal page, The J Giles, or the movie page, J Movie Talk. You can hear me pretty much wherever you listen to Jeff versus the World, wherever his podcasts are uploading and everything. Just type in TV's on Podcast Network and you can find me on my network where I have Movie Talk as well as some other shows, a part of the network and things like that. Or to make it simple, www.tvzonepodcastnetwork.com and everything. You can find all the stuff like that too. Kind of going to start putting a little bit more writing stuff on the website as well, because I think I did like one or two, but I think I'm going to kind of get back into writing some reviews as well as reviewing movies too. Just try to add more content to the website like that also. And yeah, right now I'm in my Horrorween on Movie Talk. Did a few movies, did The Blob. And I have also what's to be coming out by the time this episode come out, The Stuff. Because I did, yeah, The Blob, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I'm doing The Stuff. And we'll be wrapping up the month with Night of the Creeps. So that's what I have going on Movie Talk for the month of October. So, yeah, that's what I got. I got a lot going on this month.
Yeah, between the three of us, your podcast needs are being met. You guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the channel. And Jeff, thanks again for having us.
That's right. And like I said, when in doubt, just blame Jeff for everything.
Period.
So, peace.